in our world, in our society, submitting to those in authority is no longer the norm. In our society today, the philosophy to please yourself, and folks, that overrides the importance of following those that have any authority. Just ask a school teacher. Ask the manager at work or the foreman on a job, a police officer. Each will relate to you that submitting to those in charge is constantly being challenged. Wouldn't it not be refreshing? Would it not be refreshing, teachers, to have one of your students simply say, "Thanks, whatever you say." Or an employee to hear, to tell his boss, "I'll follow whatever you tell me to do." Wouldn't that be refreshing? So with these thoughts in mind, as we begin this morning, I ask each one of us a penetrating question. How well do you submit to Christ? Are you someone that seeks ways to maybe get around what the Lord has asked you to do? Are you someone that reads the Bible, recognizes what the Bible teaches, only to dismiss what it says by saying, "Well, God's love and God's grace will supersede my disobedience"? When we truly respect the Lord, when we truly respect our Savior, then we demonstrate such by fulfilling His will and not simply doing what we please. John chapter 14, verse 15, you know the passage as well as I do. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. Our text this morning demonstrates a mindset, the disciples of Jesus, that I think we all need to make sure that we have within our minds. Brother Smith mentioned this and read this a moment ago, and he did a super job, but I want to do it again. So turn to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and I do have it on the overhead. Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and pay attention, because I'm going to come back and deal with several important aspects of this passage. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesareth, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them, and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draw." And Simon answered and said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all night, and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in another ship that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, that the draught of fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What I want you to notice this morning as we reflect upon this passage of Scripture is the mindset of Peter and his other disciples. Folks, it truly shows something very important from this text. Jesus initially preaches a lesson to the multitudes of people. However, a much larger lesson is learned through Peter following Jesus' directives. The lesson is offered when Jesus asked Peter to let down his fishing net. That's verses 4 through 5. But then there's a further lesson presented when Jesus called Peter to lay down those same nets in verses 10 through 11. Did you notice the mindset of Peter? Did you notice his mindset? as he honored his Lord. Peter was willing to be submissive to his master, his teacher. When Jesus asked Peter to let down his nets, Peter obeyed. Now, folks, remember, this is after a long night of fishing. And without any success. Yet Jesus instructs Peter to move his boat further out into the sea and to cast those nets down again, verse 4. Can you imagine what Peter was thinking here? Can you imagine what was going on in his mind? All night without any luck, and he wants me to go out and try again? Does he not understand I'm the fisherman, he's the carpenter? I don't tell him how to build, he doesn't need to be telling me how to fish. That might have indeed been going through his mind. Peter even relates to Jesus, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Yet notice the next statement. And this is what I want us to pay attention to. Notice the next statement of Peter. With all this going on in his mind, he still looks at his Lord and he says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." I don't think Peter thought it would work. I don't think Peter thought he'd catch one more fish in that net. Yet he obeyed his Lord because that's what the Lord asked him to do. He obeyed. Notice Peter's reaction when the nets became full. He needed help to pull in that net. And the catch of fish is nearly sunk, not just his boat, but another one. And he approached Jesus, fell to his knees, and acclaimed, "I'm a sinful man." Even though he confessed his sinfulness, I want you to pay attention. Notice his mindset. "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Yet Peter was also willing to lay down the net. Peter's co-workers were absolutely astonished at what had just taken place. Then Jesus offered them another command. Jesus wanted them to go fishing again. This time, however, it wasn't fishing for fish, but fishing for men. And remember, Peter just called himself a sinful man. Truly, he didn't feel capable. He didn't feel adequate enough to fulfill such an important, such a magnitude of a test. Such a responsibility would mean he'd have to leave everything he had. His successful job, and folks, my understanding at that day and age in the area of Galilee, that indeed fishing was a very profitable job at that time. He was willing to lay that down. He'd have to lay it down. He'd have to forsake his friends and even his family. He understood. Yet the Bible states that Peter, James, and John did what? Forsook all to follow Jesus. These men were part of this awesome fishing experience to help them understand that with Jesus Christ, much can be accomplished. Peter didn't believe it would be him. Peter did not believe it would be of any advantage to set back out to sea and cast those nets back into the water, yet through obeying Jesus, the amazing took place. Peter is greatly humbled by what Jesus had just done, and indeed he feels worthless. Yet Christ knew that great and wonderful accomplishments were going to take place with Peter and these other apostles as they followed his directives. Peter, James, and John again illustrate the attitude. They illustrate the heart that must characterize a disciple of Christ today. We must have the willingness to do whatever the Lord has commanded, no matter the cost, and even if we don't think it's going to be successful. This leads us to look at ourselves, to take a closer look within our own hearts. Do you have the same mindset of these men? Do you have the heart to say, "Lord, nevertheless, at thy word, I will"? We must ask ourselves, Do you have the willingness to obey the Word of God? Would you be willing to submit to what the Lord commands so that you can become His disciple? You might be thinking, I can't do enough. I can't do enough to belong to Him, or I'm not good enough to be His follower. You might be focusing more upon the sin that is in your life than maybe the good that is in your life. Folks, remember the purpose of the Lord coming into this world. Remember His purpose. John chapter 5, verse 32. I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners unto repentance. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Even the worst of sinners can repent. Even the worst of sinners can turn their lives and serve their Lord. Notice the Christians in Corinth. Notice their background. Notice where they came from. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Folks, these Christians in Corinth understood that they could change their lives, that their sins were not so big that Jesus' blood could not save them. Even the Apostle Paul believed he was the chief among all sinners. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. But he found the redemption that's found in Jesus Christ. Being a disciple of Jesus means what? I turn from this world and I make Jesus first in my life. I place Him above all else. This means Jesus is considered first in any relationship I have. It means He's before my jobs. It means He's before my money. He's before my friendships. He's before sports. He's even before my family. Jesus is first. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me, hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, even his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Jesus asked for a lot. He asked Peter, James, and John to leave their job, to leave their father and be His. And He asked us to do the same. Friends, we must also make sure that we don't even place ourselves before Christ. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 26. And He said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come into his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. My friends, we must deny ourselves and everything about this world and put Christ first. Have you really given yourself totally unto the Lord? We sing the song many times, Lord, take control. My heart, my mind, my body, my soul, I give to you. Take control. I give my body a living sacrifice. Lord, take control. Take control. So yes, we sacrifice all for the Lord. However, the rewards for placing Him first are great. While living upon the earth, God has promised that our lives will be blessed if we completely trust and live for Christ. Luke chapter 18, verses 28 through 30. Then Peter said, "Lo, we've left all and followed thee." And he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time." Folks, if we live a life for Christ, we'll have more on this earth. Oh, more money? No. More peace, more joy, more happiness. But folks, I ended the verse too quickly. Notice even more importantly that God has promised eternal life with Him, where the rewards are more than we can ever imagine. Look at verse 30 again. "And who shall not receive manifold more in this present time, and in the world to come, life everlasting." Do you have the willingness to do whatever it takes to become the Lord's disciple? But another penetrating question we need to ask this morning: are you willing to do what it takes to continually be the Lord's disciple? Lord may ask me to do something in which I might not really have a great amount of confidence in. Do you always trust what the Lord has said concerning your finances? Many have the attitude that one must take a very hard-nosed approach in order to be successful financially. You have to put every effort and all your time to be successful in providing all the material wealth that you and your family need. We see that in this world. Yet Jesus states that I am to trust Him and that all I need will be provided. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." What things? We'll go back and look at the chapter. Food, clothing, raiment. All the things that I need to be successful. If I seek first the Lord's kingdom, those things will be granted to me. Jesus tells me not to worry about treasures upon this earth, but apply myself to Him and receive treasures in heaven. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. "Lay not for yourself treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal." Folks, that's where I put my treasures. That's where, as a disciple of Christ, I need to be working to make sure I'm fulfilling what the Lord would have me to do. Do I trust my riches, or do I trust Jesus Christ? The Lord may ask me to do things I might not understand. I simply might not understand it completely. Many might wonder why Jesus commanded that we be baptized, that we be immersed in water to receive His wonderful grace. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. "Lord, I don't understand why You want us to do such. That's sometimes hard to do. We've got to change clothes. We've got to find a place where there's a lot of water." Folks, Lord, that's a hassle. Why would You have me to do that? Should that be what's in my heart? Or should I be saying to myself, "Nevertheless, if Thy word, I will"? Many might question, why did Jesus ask us to observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week? Isn't it silly to eat just a little piece of bread and drink just a little bit of grape juice? Isn't that a little bit silly? "Nevertheless, if Thy word, I will." And folks, we could go on. Why did the Lord ask me to make sure I'm at every worship service? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Really, I'm supposed to set everything aside to come to worship. In my busy life, doesn't the Lord understand how busy I am? Doesn't the Lord understand all the things that I've got going on in my life? Doesn't the Lord understand? Surely once a week would be enough. "Nevertheless, if Thy word, I will." And again, folks, we could go on and on with this type of list. We could talk about singing in worship. Why has the Lord not heard me sing? I can't carry a note in a bucket. Nevertheless, at thy word I will. Why? I don't understand, Lord. But folks, my understanding doesn't matter. For those that are willing to obey the Lord and continually be his servant, then we must have the mindset that even though I don't always understand, even though it just doesn't make sense to me, nevertheless, at your word, Lord, I will obey you. I will honor you. Again, for those that are willing to be the Lord's follower, then the benefits are great. We'll understand that our labors are not in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. And we can look forward again to a time in which we can receive an inherited place in heaven. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. For so as an inheritance shall be ministered unto you abundantly, unto the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yet, folks, we must have that mindset. We must have the mindset that we're going to obey the Lord so that we can become his disciple and remain his disciple even when I don't understand everything the Lord would have me to do. So, are you willing to become a disciple of Christ? You must develop a faith in our Lord that nevertheless, at your word, I will obey you, Lord. I will repent of my sins by turning from them, correcting the wrongs that I have made in this life. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I will confess the sweet and precious name of Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior. I will be immersed in water. I'll be baptized just as the Lord commands so that I can become his disciple. Acts chapter 2, verse 39. 38 and 39, as well as 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Are you willing to obey the Lord? Are you willing to obey the Lord's commands no matter what others might say to you? No matter what others maybe will suggest to you, are you willing to say, nevertheless, at thy word, Lord, I will obey? Are you willing to have the mindset of a follower of Christ that will continue to live for him? Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Fear none of those things which thou hast suffered. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. Will you obey the Lord's command for worship? For leadership within his church, for daily living. Folks, we must all adopt this mindset that I'm speaking of today. We must all be his follower through continual obedience, even when to us it seems futile, even to in us it might seem unreasonable. Though it may defy our human wisdom, maybe our human logic, and we might never come to completely understand the ways of God, yet we ought to be diligent in saying to ourselves and implying into our hearts, nevertheless, Lord, at thy word I will. Do you need to come to Christ this morning? Obeying him and washing your sins away through repentance, through faith, repentance, confession, through immersion. Folks, don't wait another minute. Or as a disciple of Christ, maybe you've fallen from his grace by stepping outside of him and his word. Let me encourage you. Repent. Come home.